to the Waza Media Podcast. Waza Media is a digital marketing agency that believes in the power of storytelling. We show businesses and individuals how to communicate with laser focus in a media-saturated world. A short plug for our sponsor today. It is coming up at the end of 2021. If you're looking to start a business in 2022, now is the best time to start getting your ducks in a row. I want to recommend Northwest Registered Agent. If you go to waza.media/Northwest, you can go ahead and sign up with Northwest Regional Agent to start creating your LLC and a couple other documents that'll help you start the year with running your business. Once again, that is waza.media/Northwest. I am happy to bring on this episode for Waza Media. We have Jose Velasquez. He is the founder and CEO of Velasquez Media Consulting, located in Richmond, Virginia. Jose, welcome to the show.
Oh man, it is my pleasure. I'm excited to have a good, terrific conversation with you here.
The last time we had an interaction like this was, and I had to double check the YouTube video, was 10 months ago when I was on interviewed by you for another podcast. So
wow,
10 months later.
Has it been that long?
It has.
Wow.
And I see we both got, for our listening audience, our beards. I think mine outgrew yours last year, but I think you've got me beat this time.
Hey, you know, it's all about the beard, man. You know, we're just finishing up No Shave November, and I've been believing that since last year, so working on it slowly.
You're going to go clean it when December comes, or you think you're going to keep it hanging for a while?
I think I'm going to keep it hanging for a while. You know, as hard as it is for it to grow on my face, you know, I got to work with it while it's still here.
I've actually had to tailor mine a little bit. I blame my parents' genes. Mine doesn't connect very well on the sides. So I've just got patches. So it doesn't look correctly. So I think I can only sport the goatee. So that's as far as I can go.
Yeah, hey, it looks good on you, man. It looks good on you.
I appreciate it. Jose, we at Waza Media, we believe in the power of storytelling. So before we get into our topic of hand, I would like to ask you with your introduction, can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Yeah, thanks for the great introduction. And I really appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with you today. So I grew up in the Northeast of Hispanic, in particular, Puerto Rican parents. I, you know, dreamt of doing something that was relatively impossible in my background, which was working in the television and news and broadcast industry. And with very little, you know, ways of means, I focused on doing the best I could in the local area. But when I couldn't figure it out on my own, I turned to Uncle Sam and said, "Do you guys have broadcasting in the Army?" And I was surprised that the guy said, "Yes, we do." And so that absolutely piqued my interest. I joined the Army as a broadcast. Back in those days, they called it a broadcast journalist. And well, 30 years later, I left the Army as a senior leader in our service and really, really had a wonderful time along the way. So a year ago, I finished my time with Uncle Sam and I moved on. And as JR said, you know, started growing my beard and working it. And a year later, I couldn't be happier with my life, spending great time with my family and doing what I love.
And I'm glad I was able to meet you while you were wearing the uniform. Several years, I think it was 2017, was when we first met in person when I was going through PAQC, the public affairs qualification course. It has gone through new names now. We will always remember it by its former name.
That's right. That's why I said broadcast journalist. It just automatically, you know, I say it. Of course, you know, the program has changed names on a number of occasions to reach, you know, the audiences appropriate to the new media that has existed. And so, but I'll always be a broadcast journalist.
And now communications has changed and you've seen it through your career and also with what you're doing now, that communications has changed over time. and the way that we're using these platforms, which we're going to get into, the way that we're using them is different, and everything is evolving. I remember the song "Video Killed the Radio Star," but now we're kind of going back into radio, which is something I know you hold dear to your heart.
I do, and it is such a joy to see so many people really getting back into podcasting, listening to great podcasts, great stories, and in addition to that, just, you know, getting back to listening to music the way it was meant to be heard. So there really is a renaissance of folks who are interested. And I love the fact it's not just us old guys, but people who are much younger who are appreciating that quality music and those quality ideas behind those platforms, just on a new system, a new medium.
That's great. Jose, I want to talk about why you're here. And the biggest thing that we're seeing with all these different social media platforms and these digital platforms that are going on, and we're also coming into New Year. So I think we can relate this almost with a new year. I want to talk to you about building your personal brand on these digital platforms. Now, I understand with your background, you are a certified digital networker. Correct me if the title is incorrect, and you have a little bit of understanding on how this works. So I want to start with the basics. Jose, can you tell us about starting off with what is a personal brand? And then we'll segue into it, the digital space as far as our digital brand is.
Of course. And yes, I am a certified digital networking coach. I spend a lot of great time helping people learn how to network online. And so it is really a work of love, and it's a labor of love. So I really enjoy that, especially for our transitioning service members and their spouses as well, and overall the veteran community. But you asked about branding and what is a brand. Well, a brand is, in some respects, as you noted, telling a story, right? The brand in and of itself, whether it's just one word, it's a swoosh, whatever it might be, it evokes an emotion, it evokes a memory, and it tells people who we are without ever saying a word. And a brand, when it comes to the world of networking, is simply you being you and people getting an immediate idea when they see your name, they see a post of yours on some form of social media, they see you at a networking event across the hall, they immediately get an idea as to who you are. That's your brand. It's as simple as that.
I think that's a great way of saying it. I like how you brought some of the imagery from some of the main companies. You brought Nike. And now that we're kind of going into the holiday season, we're seeing more of symbolism items that are popping up. I know in our family, we've got the Christmas tree for some, the menorah is another, a dreidel is another symbol or a brand that talks about the background of a story, of historical reference or in cultural reference. And so a brand, I like how you described it as something that could be visual, or even a name could be very related to a brand.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I love the fact that, you know, branding is its own business, its own discipline. You know, colleges teach branding as you know, degrees all the way up to the PhD level, but I'm a simple guy. So for me, you know, it's simple as, you know, you pick up a can of Coke, you wear a pair of Nikes, you know, you talk about your Uncle Fred and how, you know, he smelled like cigarettes back in the day. And it immediately evokes Uncle Fred, it immediately evokes the red Coca-Cola can, and it immediately evokes the swoosh of the Nike shoes. And so, so it's as simple as that. And I think it's incredibly powerful when we understand that we ourselves are a brand and we really have the power to control how others see us if you do so in a meaningful way online.
And speaking of powerful, I remember seeing a study years ago about the importance of visual imagery when it comes to branding. And the study actually used children to test it. And with my two toddlers that are 3 and 4, the study used, I think, 5 and 6 year olds, in which they splashed images of different brand names and without the words. And they were, I think, 90% able to correctly identify, you know, the McDonald's arches, the Starbucks logo, and Colgate, and just with the colors. And so branding is important, and companies see the importance of it, because now I'm thinking about my kids when they're growing up with these products at home, when they become of buying age in the next 30, not 30, I want them out of the home by then, in the next 10 or 15 years, that they've been marketed to for most of their almost 18 years before they leave my home. And the branding will be stuck in their head, and they've grown up with these products, and they say, yes, that is the go-to for coffee, for toothpaste, for floss, for, you know, even for little things, that's going to be their go-to. So branding can be super powerful.
Yeah, it can. And it can be incredibly positive. Of course, it can also be very negative, right? But we have the power to choose to be a particular brand. We can choose to make a decision as to how we're seen in the, you know, digital space, of course, in reality as well, but in the digital space where we spend so much time, we can make that decision. And, you know, it's funny because computer screens are pretty flat, which is why so many times we unintentionally mistake something, a particular tone in an email, and we get upset at somebody and they're like, what are you talking about? I didn't mean it that way. You know, similarly, people can misinterpret your motivations, misinterpret the kind of person you are, if you don't give them that three-dimensional platform on which to exist. And where is that? It's with your words, it's with your images, as you noted, and that's how you can help people better understand who you are and stop being a two-dimensional, you know, computer animated person.
I think we've gone from the person for properly identifying or defining a personal brand and what branding is, and we've kind of segued it into the digital side. I want to talk about first impressions. What is your first impression when you're seeing or networking or meeting someone for the first time? You're seeing their social profile. And you're getting to know someone and you're seeing someone's brand for the first time on their page. What is the number one thing that you look for when you're seeing someone online?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's much like, and as you noted in the thing that you saw or read about colors and that kind of thing with brands, it's similar when it comes to social media. And if there's one thing that is more brandable than anything else in the world, and that's probably to kids as well, you know, beyond colors, is, you know, the face of there's nothing that kids remember more than the face of a mom, you know, maybe the way that a dad's face feels, you know, with their beard hair and the way that we smell. You know, it's through the senses. And in many respects, when we look at people online, we remember their face first. Before the words, before anything else, we remember the face first. And if you are smiling in a warm, approachable smile, you know, people immediately are attracted to you. And if they are, then that's the beginning of developing a great relationship with others.
I totally agree. As a headshot photographer, the face and your profile picture is definitely one of the first impressions. I know personally, when I look at LinkedIn requests that come to my account, the first thing I do is I look to see who is, if I can visually recognize the person that's trying to add me on this network. And surprisingly, I get profile accounts with no pictures at all.
Oh, which is a missed opportunity.
I I totally agree. Not only for them to introduce, but also it is an opportunity for me to message back and say, hey, I noticed you don't have a headshot. Let's talk and how I can help you.
Yeah. Well, so that's a benefit. See, that's because you're a positive thinker.
trying to be more of the opportunist in that sense. But sometimes and I'm a visual person, so hence the photography background in it. And so having visual cues to help guide me in recognizing, is this someone that I want in my network, or do I even know this person, are cues that I need for myself in order to either hit the accept or possibly the ignore or delete button when it comes to that request.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, please.
No, I was trying to remember the study in which first impressions for imagery takes less than two seconds now. Ooh, 2 minutes. That'd be a long time for first impression. No, less than 2 seconds now. It was 7 seconds, but now because we're on these devices, I think the studies have shown that we're better now in this age of analyzing content because we're constantly scrolling through the feeds. We're getting better at analyzing data because of the devices that we're using. And so we're now quicker to make judgments faster and analyze data quicker because of these devices.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think of myself, you know, endlessly working through my Instagram and, you know, and I do make very snap judgments on, you know, whether or not I'm going to give this, you know, whatever I'm looking at, even 2 more seconds of my attention. And that's all specifically on what I see within that snap second that this image pops up in front of me. And so, you know, I think about that. And, you know, when I talk to people about their LinkedIn profiles, you know, LinkedIn just tends to be, and I'm not selling LinkedIn, but LinkedIn tends to be the best currently, the best, you know, platform for professionals in engaging with each other, being supportive of each other, of course, networking, growing profiles, and, you know, finding employment or just growing a network of like-minded professionals. But, you know, on LinkedIn, I always tell people your profile is where you can get people to say yes. And so give them as many reasons to say yes as possible and as few reasons to say no. And it all starts with that face. If you're not there, man, I'll tell you, I don't know if I, on the other hand, receiving a connection request is, you know, I'm going to immediately think, okay, is this person, do they not, you know, are they a scammer? Are they just so new to the, you know, to the LinkedIn world that they don't know how to post a photo yet? Have they, you know, unintentionally set it up to be super private? Have they intentionally set it up to be super private? If I've got to ask that many questions, you're not starting well. You're not causing a great first impression.
So number one, you got to have a good first impression. You got to have a profile photo and it has to be a good one. So if you don't have one, talk to a good headshot photographer and get yourself squared away there. Now, Jose, you mentioned about there's different elements in making sure you have you have that three-dimensional approach to showing who you are. You mentioned words, there's images, and we talked about the profile photo. Can we go and talk about how words have a meaning when it comes to building your personal brand?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes to engaging with people, of course, words matter incredible amounts. You know, networking and, you know, looking to engage with people and get them to be interested in connecting with us. I mean, we're doing the same for other people, right? We're hoping that people will accept us, will bring us into their tribe every time that we send a connection request, which is why I always encourage people to send a personalized message with practically every connection request, because it separates you from everyone else that person is getting connection requests from that day. And if you are, you know, genuine with your connection note, people are much more likely to accept your connection request that way. What I find interesting and what you talked about is, you know, how do words evoke those similar emotions that photos do or video does? And I'll tell you, I'll tell people all the time, or I'll use this analogy. I'll say, think of a cabin, a favorite cabin or a favorite location to be. And people will say, okay, I'd love to have a little cottage by the ocean or a little cabin in the woods or by the lake or by the river. All I say is, you're on vacation and you're in a very special building. And people come up with all kinds of things. Well, every one of them evokes some memory, some emotion. Obviously, you don't want to go somewhere you don't want to be. And so, so I've used that word, you know, building or location to benefit me in telling a story. And so if I can create a story, a narrative, whether that be in interacting with somebody, remembering with other friends or colleagues or people that I'm that I have a similar background with, if I can do that, I have a much greater chance of getting people to get to know me, of becoming a more three-dimensional person on their platform, on their DMs, in real life. It all kind of works out.
And words have meaning, as you and I know, as communicators, words have meaning, and the choice of words that we use can have an impact in the tone, in the syntax. Just overall, words have meaning, and using the right words is important. One thing I noticed with LinkedIn and is that while video seems to be popular on a lot of the different platforms, I still feel that Twitter and Instagram are still large on the written word. And I'm starting to see more longer threads on Twitter. And I'm also starting to enjoy the long form content, long form stories that people are putting on, that I see on my LinkedIn feed. Do you see the community continuing to leverage the written word more, or do you think platforms such as LinkedIn or Twitter may go more into a video format in elevating the storytelling of their brand?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's funny because people will always ask me, Jose, you're such a video guy and you grew up in the world of video. Why is it that LinkedIn is, video is not as popular on LinkedIn than photos or even the written word in comparison to other platforms where video is king? I mean, the moving picture is king on almost all social media. And of course, I joke with people, I say the reason that video is not king on LinkedIn is because a lot of people are looking at LinkedIn while they're at work. You're supposed to be doing work, but they're on LinkedIn, and so they're afraid that the video is going to pop on. It's going to be some loud sound. Which, by the way, I always encourage people to, when they're posting a video, definitely look for ways to close caption their videos, because of course it helps folks who have that need. And that's of benefit, and that can be of great benefit to you as well in gaining a follower, a connection, or a good friend or colleague, in someone that might have difficulty in seeing. But in addition to that, all those people who are at the office and they can see what's happening on the video, they win, and they're more likely to like your video. But getting back to your question, okay, so. Will I see more? Will we see more? It's interesting because if you look at the Gen Zers, if you look at, even the post-Gen Z population, which are now even younger, right? It's the kids that are 15 and younger are starting to slip out of the Gen Z community, which is terrifying to me. Every time an entire generation slips away, I'm like, wow, I'm one more generation separated. But, I think in youth, everything is faster. We run all day and we jump and we play and, it's that time of your life. So I think in very, very young, adults and children, I think that, the very quick videos and, photo collages and, very short blurbs of wording are still likely to hold the greatest grasp, hence TikTok being so successful. Having said that, what I will tell you is people who are of business age, the people that we are trying to reach for the most part, are people who are much more open to the idea of the long form audio, video. And by the way, audio is making a great comeback as well, in not just in these podcasts, but in these open source environments as well. So I love that. And I know you noted it at the beginning of the show, but you know, I think the written word is having a resurgence. And I will tell you that this is, you know, because a lot of people say, well, Jose, how do I get eyeballs on my long form product when everybody's so used to, you know, short little blips? And I say, you know, it's the same with anything, you know, you got to hook them in. And so if your first three or four sentences aren't bringing someone to you, if you're not evoking emotion in someone in those first three or four sentences, you're going to lose them one way or the other. So you either lose them because they ran out of, you know, Twitter space and they just move on to the next tweet, or you know, you win them so that they can continue to read the long form item. And whether that be, you know, on Twitter in a longer form, or on LinkedIn in an article or a longer form post, you know, that's the way to get it. I mean, ultimately, if you get people at the very beginning who take an emotional connection to what you're writing, you're much more likely to get them to continue reading.
One three-step process that I learned was hook, line, and sinker when it comes to your copy. And you want to hook them with something, either a joke or a statement or something outrageous, but not clickbait. Don't go the clickbait route, but it's something to catch attention, and then you bridge it, you add a bridge, and then you go into your deeper messaging. So hook, line, and sinker is one tactic that I learned in order to write good copy.
There's an old marketing scheme that says, you know, at the very beginning, you know, tell them what you're going to tell them. In the center, tell them what you're going to tell them. And at the end, tell them what you told them. If you do those three things, you've got a great commercial on your hands.
I like it. Jose, I want to talk about some of the personal brands or personalities. Could be famous, could be not famous, could be someone that's close to you that you feel that has a good personal brand. And you could, can you point out some of the things that you like about and how well they're doing, or maybe they're not doing, that they can improve on? Is there one or two people that you could bring up as a good example?
Yeah, I think I can. I don't follow, I don't follow a lot of famous people per se. I don't know, it's just not me. You know, I like to engage with people and connect with people. And to be fair, famous people get hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of, you know, comments a day, or likes or follows or subscriptions. And so I recognize I'm not going to be able to, you know, rise to the, you know, to the level of even being noticed by that person. And you know, all their, you know, well intentions, you know, possible, it's just probably not going to happen. And so I am really interested in people who have the time to engage with me, at least to some degree. And so, you know, for me, I've got some people who have become friends of mine over time, who are and were, when I first started on LinkedIn, already popular and already moving in the right direction. I've learned from them, I've grown from them. And I mean, that's the whole point of following someone, right? Is that you can learn and grow for them. So for me, you know, I've got two favorites for sure that I look at, you know, that I've been steady with from the very beginning. And of course, that's Matt Quick, who is an incredible friend of mine, who also works in supporting our service members as they transition, and our veterans, as well as their spouses. And so I love his page. Matt Quick is easy to find, Matt-Quick. And you can find him on LinkedIn. He's got some incredible commentary, posts, and things that are going to help service members as they transition. And some just general guidelines or general suggestions that are going to help you in your networking travels, if you will. In addition to that, you know, Michael Quinn, who's a great friend of mine as well, Mike kind of introduced me to LinkedIn, and as he has many people. And Mike is just this incredibly warm guy, you know, and sometimes he challenges people online. I find it's funny because if they knew him in person, they'd all think he was just the warmest, friendliest person. And sometimes when they meet him at networking events, they're kind of like tiptoeing around him, you know, because of his persona online. But, you know, Mike challenges notions. He challenges people to be their best. He challenges bad habits. He challenges longstanding, you know, habits and why we do what we do. And, you know, it makes people very uncomfortable because we are creatures of habit. We like doing what we always do. And so I love when he challenges people. I love when he's challenged me, and I've learned and grown from there. So I really like following him as well. And then a third person I really love, you know, following is Misty Moreno. She has a book. I'm going to look down because I don't want to get this wrong. It's Get Your I won't say the whole word together. It's a great book. It'll really help you. She was a service member as well, transitioned and has moved on to such incredible things. You can learn and grow from following Misty Moreno as well.
Awesome. And we'll make sure for our video and also our listening audience that we put those profiles in the description, so that way you have a chance to follow some of these great profiles and these great individuals. As we're wrapping up, Jose, I kind of want to turn the focus on you. So no pressure on this one.
So
knowing what you know now about personal branding, and now with your certifications, if you could go back in time, what would you do differently about your own personal brand?
Yeah. I wouldn't have worn that terrible shirt I wore the first time I took a photo. I'm kidding. No, I'm kind of kidding. It was a really terrible shirt in my first profile photo. No, but I don't know, as I was getting out of the military, how important networking, engaging with content, how important a profile page was on LinkedIn in comparison to a resume, and how important networking was in the job process. I just assumed that, you know, getting a great resume was all I needed to be successful. And I would just send these resumes to these companies and they would just shower me with job offers. And I would just sit there and just let them rain on me and then pick the first $1 million job that popped up, you know. And I sent a resume out, and then I sent another resume out, and then I sent a third and fourth and 10th and 20th and 40th and 50th. And boy, I got nothing. And if I did get something, it was a rejection. And I started, you know, really questioning myself. I was like, wow, am I that terrible? Is civilian life that difficult that none of my military skills transfer over? And I was in a bad place with that. You know, I just didn't know where to turn. But as I watched people on LinkedIn and I got advice from really knowledgeable people like Mike Quinn, as well as Matt Quick, I really began to learn that networking is where you can grow a group of meaningful professional contacts that can lead you to incredible opportunities. I wish I had known that, because I wouldn't have wasted probably the first year and a half or the last year and a half of my military service, you know, kind of focused so much on the resume. You can only make your resume so good. You know what I mean? There's no perfect resume. Even your most perfect resume, you got to change it every time you send it out to a particular company. And so, you know, you get your resume as good as you can, and you want it to be a great representation. You make sure that your LinkedIn profile is updated on a regular basis, because trust me, employers are going to go to your profile page before they'll even read your resume. They want to know who Jose is right now, and they're going to go to your profile page. Trust me, whether they ask for your page or not, they're going to look for you. And then in addition to that, you know, what I will tell you is that I didn't understand how important it was to build my brand from the very beginning. And I think people overthink building your brand. You know, I'm Jose, and I am, that's all I am. I'm Jose. I have this set of skills. I've learned these things from the Army. I taught other people things while I was in the Army and have continued to do so after. But ultimately, when I, you know, when I interact with people online, I just want people to know who I am. I hope I'm a pretty decent guy, you know, and I have particular interests. And when I'm excited talking about, you know, certain things like with you, I mean, I could talk video, audio, the written word with you all day. And I don't think the hours would just fly by. I wouldn't even notice the time because it's something that I genuinely love. And I really think back on, you know, gosh, I really should have known this ahead of time, but how do you know? You know, unless somebody, you know, tells you. And so unfortunately for me, I think that I probably wasted some time that I could have used, you know, better while networking and engaging with content.
Now you're taking this knowledge and you're helping others, and you're paving the way forward for someone else who may need that opportunity, that job, or needing that gig. So I appreciate what you're doing, and also helping bridge the gap of knowledge with experience, but also your expertise.
Oh man, I thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I, you know, really invite people to follow me. In most places, I'm Jose Velasquez Jr. That's JoseVelasquezJr, Jose Velasquez Jr. I'm that on LinkedIn and also on YouTube. I encourage you to drop by and follow or connect or subscribe with me. I'm always focused on helping others, you know, through the information and the knowledge that I've gained.
Awesome. Thank you, Jose, for being on the show. And I'll also drop a link to the podcast from 10 months ago, just for fun for our listening and our video viewers.
You've gotten better looking. I've gotten worse. What happened? I don't know.
Ah, no, you look great on my screen. You look great. Don't judge yourself too hard, Jose. Thank you again.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Wazza Media Podcast. If you found this podcast helpful, please share this with a friend and give us a review. It only takes a quick moment. Be sure to follow us on our social media platforms at Wazza Media. That's W-A-Z-A Media. And if you're looking for an agency to help you take your business to the next level, please visit our website at wazza.media to schedule a consultation. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time for the next episode.